we collect and recycle your electronic, battery and plastic waste. The major issue with these waste streams is that all these are essentially hazardous in nature. They contain a lot of substances which is not recycled properly, cause a lot of environmental damage and also a lot of health issues to the people who are dealing with it.
What is e-waste? Why is it different? Why should I care?
India recycles only 5% of its e-waste right now. Governments around the world and organizations working for the environment around the world have essentially understood aur ab ye producers ya manufacturers ko thoda sa chabi ghuma rahe hain.
In a city like Kolkata, which is considered to be, you know, one of the top few developed metro cities in India, as we used to call it, even there, in the center of the city, they are having to resort to such means to, you know, to go through garbage. It was a horrifying sight to see.
We were sustainable in our roots, yaar.
One's trash is another man's treasure, no?
India mein thoda danda marna padta hai, incentive bhi dena.
And we're back to compounding.
Hi, I'm Nandan, and the world is in turmoil because of the waste we generate. And I'm here to solve this. I run a company called Huladec Recycling. We've been in the waste management space for about a decade now. And there's been regulations in the country and in the world for many years now about these things. And India adopted it about close to 12 years ago. And ever since, you know, we've been a part of this journey and we've been trying to solve the waste management problems that are there in our country.
So first things first, Nandan, I think we're going to address this, that you have been in it for a decade. So as you said, when we met at the event in Calcutta, you introduced yourself as being in the last year of being recognized as a startup. So tell us a little bit about this 10-year journey. How did this come about? What is, you know, what is your background as such? What, where does Nandan come from, and where did Nandan come to this company, to Huladec? How did Huladec happen?
Yeah, so it actually started off funnily at a college event. So I was at St. Xavier's for my undergrad in Calcutta, and we used to have these business plan competitions. The competition essentially spoke about, you know, talking about a business of the future. So the brief given to us was present an idea that would be relevant 10 years from now. This was in 2009-10, and I was a first year student, and you know, I had some enterprising seniors who actually introduced the idea to me. I didn't really know much about it, and I was taken as just as a junior, as a part of the team. I just went and read a script on the stage and didn't really realize what it was worth back then. So we won that, and then we went to nationals. You know, we went to Bangalore for a national competition. We, you know, won that, and then we went to an international competition and we presented in Dubai. So the then CEO of Oracle India, he was, you know, one of the judges on the panel, and he said that, you know, if you guys are interested, there are organizations that are doing this. It's starting up in India, and maybe I can introduce you to someone and you can explore. So unfortunately, my other teammates were all on the CA MBA bandwagon. They were not really interested in the entrepreneurial side of things, and I was very clear after 6 a.m. college that I am not interested in education anymore, because that was it for me. And so I figured that you know, I need to do something with my life, and I said, okay, let's try it. So they introduced me. The first recycler of e-waste in India was also in the Silicon Valley of India, you know, in Bangalore. And it made sense because maximum IT junk was being produced there. So I worked with them, for them in fact. I used to help them carry out the contracts that they had with Wipro and Infosys in this part of the country. So whatever electronic waste Wipro and Infosys were generating, I was managing that for them. I was collecting it and shipping it, trucking it to their facility. So it was a good gig. I think back then in college, working about 20-30 hours a week, I was making about 20-25,000 rupees a month, which was not bad for a college kid more than a year, decade ago. I was very happy. I was sorted in life. And that's how I got introduced to the concept. Unfortunately, though, there was another personal story attached with it, because my then girlfriend, she was, in fact, an electronics and electrical engineer. And, you know, I still, till this age, say that, you know, you make them, I recycle them. And so she was in Manipal studying, and of course there was long distance, and we were in first year, second year of college. We didn't know what shit we were doing, and ultimately, of course, there was, because this new job and the excitement and being recognized by, you know, a national company doing something so great, I was obviously all on it. I mean, I was working 25-30 hours for them, but the other 20-30 hours was just research and trying to find out what more can be done, etc. So there were some relationship challenges that would come. So she gave me a pink slip, sort of saying that, you know, you choose between the work and me. And so then obviously I chose her, but 6 months later she chose someone else. So that was a little bit of a wrong choice I made in life. And I think that perhaps had I been a part of this journey continuously, then my learning curve just would have been, you know, so much more ahead, and I would have probably earned so much more credibility in the industry and so much more knowledge. So after that happened, you know, I forayed into education for a bit, did NIIT, we had a education center with NIIT, did that for a couple of years, realized that's not what I'm interested in. And then in 2012, actually, the law on e-waste came out for the first time in the country. And we realized, okay, now is the time to go back to it. And that's how, you know, Huladec was born. And in 2014, we incorporated.
So, Nandan, I have a question for you. I am 29 years old now. So, I grew up in an India where recycle just meant that one dude comes to our house with his, you know, weighing machine, and you put newspaper and you put some metal stuff on one side and he puts the weights on the other side. And that's the level of recycle we know. Okay, that's the person who comes through. Now you talk about 10 years ago, India implements that e-waste needs to be handled separately. To an average brain who has seen that India transformed into the current India, and does not understand the quick transition that happened for waste, what is e-waste? Why is it different? Why should I care?
So e-waste is, in simple terms, anything that uses electricity or a battery to function. When it becomes one of the four things, either it is outdated, or it is obsolete, or it is non-functional, right? Or it is damaged beyond repair. If any of electronic or electrical item, which either uses a battery or electricity to function, is in one of these four stages of its life, it can be considered as e-waste. That's as simple as I can put it. And why you should care is because when these electronics were being manufactured and the whole IT revolution and even the consumer durables and electronics revolution that happened in India and consumerism increased, people were trying to make electronics cheaper to own and larger in terms of quantities to own. So the idea was that one device should not solve all your problems. We will create multiple problems and then we will have you have multiple devices for it. You know, so like the mobile phone or the smartphone revolutionized that, but before that, essentially, for the functionality that a mobile phone provides you today, you had about 10 devices for 10 different things, right? And that's how the electronics and electrical waste revolution really started in the country. And the problem with all this is because they were trying to make it affordable and they were trying to make it quick and technology was changing, they didn't really care about the environmental impact. So a lot of materials which are environmentally unsustainable were used because they were cheaper and could get the job done, you know. So a very simple example is that our coolers, which we used to have in the 90s in our homes, right, did not use any external gas to provide the cooling. It was simply water that was then, you know, converting into cooler air, and it was absolutely sustainable and there was no challenge. The moment air conditioning came in, we had these chlorofluorocarbons and these other gases that were introduced, which was making it faster, easier, quicker, but also it was environmentally unsustainable. So these elements, once they got mixed with electronics, brought out the e-waste evolution, because what happens to the gas in the AC when the AC is no longer functioning, right? And how do you ensure that that gas does not get exposed into the atmosphere, does not cause global warming as we know it? So that was one thing. Another very interesting example is with televisions. So when the CRT TV revolution really came, when that Videocon had really started booming, that Oneida devil used to come and say that, hey, buy an Oneida, you know. So CRT TVs really became the boom, it became the bomb. And now CRT TVs have a problem that they have a layer of lead around the entire glass. Now that lead essentially helps the so-called screen to last longer. Now, that lead, unfortunately, if it was a layer, it was okay. Now, it is a silicate. So, for those of you who understand a little bit of chemical engineering, you understand that a silicate is essentially when two matters or two materials, which are not normally homogeneous, are brought together, right? And they are combined into one layer. So, when it's a silicate of lead and glass, it's impossible to remove the lead without, you know, shattering the glass. And the moment the glass is shattered, then the lead just breaks into millions of pieces and it becomes even further difficult to recycle it. So CRT for the longest time used to be refurbished, and Videocon used to be the global supplier of both new and refurbished CRT TVs. And Videocon became the legend that they are today because of that. Right? But ever since the LCD LED technology came, overnight CRT became obsolete. And there was this huge pile of waste that no one ever thought what to do with. And that's when the silicate problem and the lead problem came.
And lead is poisonous, right?
Yes. So lead is a carcinogen, not just poisonous.
And lead is very, very poisonous. Yeah.
It's a carcinogen. It's a cancer-causing substance. So prolonged exposure to lead can lead to cancer in your body, right? And that became a serious problem. And there are a lot of examples here. You know, jo humne socha nahi sustainably, and now, you know, we are still dealing with the problem.
Don't you think it's just the beginning? Don't you think that the whole, let's talk about electronics, right? We have gone from I need 10 devices to I need one. And now I even need to charge my watch, right? I need to charge my shoes. There are self-tying shoes which are using battery. I have a separate microphone which I cannot build into my phone, and everybody wants a sound bar, right? So I feel personally that the number of devices now have started climbing again. I also feel that companies are not building devices to last. Everything is a SaaS model. Everything is, you know, a recurring revenue model. So I'll launch a phone today such that it will go bad in 2 years so that you will need a new phone then, right? And even with TVs, I'll upgrade the tech quick enough. I'll advertise it quick enough. You'll need a better TV very soon. What impact does this have?
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right that it's only going to grow. And India is currently the third largest generator of e-waste in the world. Even though we are the fourth largest economy or the second largest in population, we're the third largest. So imagine the top two are who? Now, of course, you know, China is larger than us because there's more people.
Did you say importer? Did you say importer of e-waste?
No. Generator. And also, I'll come to the import angle as well. That's also a very interesting angle. But the largest actually is the United States of America. They generate the maximum amount of electronic waste in the world. And, you know, a very interesting thing happened, just a parallel from another industry. A very interesting thing happened about 2-3 years ago, where, so all of the plastic waste that used to be generated in the United States used to be shipped in containers to China. And China had a very thriving recycling industry for plastic waste, right? And they were using a lot of it to again manufacture low quality products, right, which did not require, where the quality of the plastic really didn't matter. You know, so for example, aapke ghar mein in India, if there's a meter box, you know, where which reads the meter of your electricity every day. Okay. So that meter box has a plastic cover. Now that plastic cover, no one cares what is the quality. It just is, has to be weatherproof. That's about it. You know? So a lot of these reused plastic or recycled plastic was going in stuff like that. That's just one example. Overnight, one fine day, China issued a 14-day notice to US that from the 15th day onwards, we will not take your plastic. Right? It was a 2-week notice, you know, the popular US terminology, you know. And they literally issued a 2-week notice to the United States and we will not take a plastic waste anymore. See what you want, whatever you want to do with it. And the reason was that China realized that they are actually bringing in more than they need in terms of recycled supply. So they didn't have a market to sell that much recycled granules of plastic as much as they were bringing. So they said that, okay, let's consolidate. And after whatever research they did and all, they said that let's get rid of the US load. We take from other countries or we manage our own, but let's get rid of the US load. A similar thing needs to happen with India when it comes to e-waste. Because technically in India, e-waste imports are banned for the last 7 odd years. Lekin, it comes. And, you know, here having spent time, which will come to my second part of the journey also. Now, having spent time in Europe, I was there for almost 2 years and I was a part of this same industry. I understand how much greenwashing happens in terms of Europe being sustainable and Switzerland having the lowest AQI in the world. How Switzerland achieves that, now I know. Because it's not that they have great recycling practices or people are more sustainable, etc., etc. It's just simply hamare kudedan se aapke kudedan mein humne bhej diya. So it's not that they're actually finding the solution within the country. They are just diverting the waste to Southeast Asia or Africa. So similarly, something like this is still happening in India.
One's trash is another man's treasure, no?
Yeah. And so it was okay till it made business sense, because for a recycler like me, I used to get that metal very cheap, right? Because for them, it's no value. So it made sense. Ki chalo, saste mein le aao. But now with the domestic awareness increasing, now with the government making rules for India's waste to be managed properly, now we have enough people willing to give us the waste in India. So then we're like, then why do we import? And why do we take the responsibility of someone else, right? And that's what's happening right now in our country, where slowly, slowly, the imports of electronic waste are reducing, right? And waste at large is reducing. And the domestic produce is trying to be recycled in a proper way.
I would question that even the cheap watches that we are still importing from China, even the super cheap toys that we are still importing, which have like a life cycle of a month, have a life cycle of 2 weeks, that the child is going to hold it, play with the watch for like 2 minutes and then throw it away. All of that is essentially import of e-waste, if you think about it very carefully, right? And these things have such short life cycles and they're just trash, straight up trash, right?
Akhil, just yesterday or like last night, I was watching a video done by Marques Brownlee about a smart watch that is costing $69. It is essentially the entire thing is made out of plastic.
69 is too expensive, bro. If you go to Amazon India, you will get something much cheaper than even $69. You will get something for like under 1,000 rupees.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I get that that's India, but this I'm talking world over. We are getting to the point where we have become so device dependent, where everything is suddenly smart. This smart word is just like a thing that just shoved in front of everything.
Everything needs batteries, right? Even when you talk about IoT devices, if my mirror is going to be IoT, if my lights are going to be IoT, if like even the things that were not supposed to be electronic are going to be electronic, they are going to generate waste. So Nandan, let's turn it into a positive conversation. How are we going to dodge the problem that is inevitable?
It's actually very simple, but it's all in the implementation, you know. So in economics, we've understood and learned about these three concepts, which is a linear economy, a recycling economy, and a circular economy. Okay. So currently India is getting out of a linear economy, which is essentially take, make, use, waste. So you take resources, you make products out of them, you use those products, and you waste those products. Right? Now, we are moving towards a recycling economy where it is take, make, use, recycle, make again, use, recycle, make again. Then ultimately, if it's no longer recyclable, then you waste. Okay. Now, what is a circular economy? The circular economy is take, make, use, right? Then you have repair, you have return, you have recycle, you have reuse, you have refuse, right? And all of them come back to each other, which essentially means that maybe in a linear economy, there is a zero cycle where a product is living only one life cycle. In a recycling economy, maybe it's living three or four. But in a circular economy, essentially it's a closed loop. It keeps on revolving. It's almost a never-ending cycle.
There is an issue. The issue is that manufacturing plastic is cheaper than reusing and recycling plastic. Which is why, like, there was this guy when plastic bottles came into being, when PET bottles came, this guy got like a lot of companies set up a meeting, conference. And he said, your future belongs in a trash can. You want people to consume and you want people to throw. And let's not think further. Right? And now we are at the point where that further is damaging. And this is plastic. This is not e-waste. But it applies just as much. You know, your future belongs mobile. And when you talk about mobile, everything is battery. And it is going to be needed to be recycled. Right? And it is going to cost money.
And it is much cheaper to mine the material and make a new battery than it is to strip the material of an existing battery.
No, okay. So fair points. Now, couple of things here and why the industry is also realizing about the positive impact in terms of business sense for this. So, let me give you a very interesting example which just came out recently. So, you know, Coca-Cola, right? And Coca-Cola ka maybe like 5-7 years ago tak, we used to get the glass bottles. Hai na? Virtually now the glass bottles are not available.
Yeah.
Okay. Na? Now it's basically plastic. Also, these glass bottles used to come in crates made of high density polyethylene, HDP. Okay. Now these crates got replaced.
Yeah, we could return the bottles and like get fresh bottles in.
It was so beautiful. We were sustainable in our roots, yaar. But anyway, let me not get into that. Okay. So, wo HDP ke crates aate the, and us crates pe hum glass bottles rakhte the. Now, those crates got replaced by shrink wraps.
Yeah.
Now, the shrink wraps were affordable. It was lighter weight to transport. You could ship more bottles, etc. etc. More advantages. Now, what Coke is telling their shrink wrap suppliers?
And the shrink wrap was also strong enough ki wo plastic bottles could be held in that. And because it was plastic, there's no like toot jayega and all that.
So what Coke started telling their shrink wrap manufacturers is that starting 2025, I want you to use 20% recycled shrink wraps as your feed for making new shrink wraps for me. And that goes in a 5-year plan to 70%. Okay. Now, this is a mandate that Coca-Cola Global has given to all its manufacturers. And this is for shrink wraps. So, of course, it is there for PET as well. Right. And it is for various other products. Now, why is this happening? Because governments around the world and organizations working for the environment around the world have essentially understood aur ab ye producers ya manufacturers ko thoda sa chabi ghuma rahe.
Before we move on to the governments, I have a demonstration here for everybody. So in Canada, milk comes in this kind of a setup. Okay, so you need to buy this plastic thing and you get milk bags. And you're supposed to take this bag here, get it out of a plastic bag, and then put this bag inside this plastic thing. It's like plastic, 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 plastic. And earlier, again, it used to be the whole glass bottle thing that used to happen. You know, there used to be 6 glass bottles delivered to each house every day. And now this is just a logistical dream. You know, for milk companies, logistically, they are sound. And cost-wise, they are sound. So just one of the transitions that plastic allowed. So let's go the government route now. Let's talk about the impact of governments in something like this.
Speaking of PET bottles, though, just adding one thing in PET bottles, this stat which continues to blow my mind till date is that India recycles 90% of its PET bottles. And on the other side of it, I will just give you the complete the opposite end of the spectrum. Again, something that happened yesterday. So I live in Baliganj, Guru Sadai Road, and there is a garbage dump which is about 500 meters from my house. There was some problem there. So for 3 days, they were dumping garbage on the road in front of my house. Yesterday afternoon, they had, they'd blocked off the entire road and they had 2 massive garbage trucks picking up garbage from the side of the road, essentially. And this was a pile of garbage that had just, piled up over like 3 days, and they were taking it away. And I was horrified at the fact that, in a city like Kolkata, which is considered to be, one of the top few developed metro cities in India, as we used to call it, even there in the center of the city, they are having to resort to such means to go through garbage. It was a horrifying sight to see.
I'll also add something there. The PET bottle stat is so astonishing because in Canada, we need to have 3 dustbins. There needs to be a bio dustbin in which we put like banana peels and cut onions, things that can be put under the soil without any issue. There needs to be a...
Composted, essentially.
Compost, yes. There needs to be a very specific recycling bin in which it is dry and only recycling material goes through, and then there's trash, right? In India, even if these practices are in place, I would not be flabbergasted that nobody's practicing them, right? I would think that, yeah, it's normal that nobody's practicing them. They're just making one big trash and just throwing it away, right? So the segregation of trash is what would be like a real, real issue. And we had one of these discussions in our episode with Anahat. They are educating the world about pads and periods and menstruation, right? And they talk about how this is a huge issue there, that people just throw their pads alongside all the other trash, and it needs to be segregated at the location of the trash, which would be the same for plastic, and I would think it would be the same for e-waste.
I don't think we have a separate e-waste disposal in India, not that I'm aware of. The only possible e-waste recycling is that we have is these local shops and everything like that, that you buy your electronics from, or you go for screen guards and phone cases. You can sometimes give them your old electronic devices for pennies, or paisa on the rupees. It's okay. Yeah, you are making something out of which is something that is completely useless to you. But I don't know what these guys do with it.
Let me tell you guys some good things and some bad things about the country.
So Nandan, let's take it from there. Let's see. How are you solving that problem?
Approximately 70% of our population lives in rural India. Okay. And about the balance 30%, the breakup of metro to B towns, C towns, and B tier 2, tier 3 cities would be about 10% in metros and the balance 20% in the others. Right. Now, the problems that we are talking about is essentially playing these 30% only. कभी आप एक महीना गांव में लेके आओ, कोई प्रॉब्लम नहीं है, ठीक है, ना ही प्लास्टिक पोल्यूशन है, ठीक है, ना ही हवा में कोई इश्यू है, ठीक है, ना ही लोग अपने कचरे को सेग्रीगेट नहीं करते, ऐसा कुछ नहीं है. कंज्यूमरिज्म इज द बिगेस्ट इवन, नंबर वन. ठीक है, वी डिड अ कलेक्शन ड्राइव इन सुंदरबंस, ठीक है, फॉर प्लास्टिक वेस्ट. सुंदरबंस आज से 20-30 साल पहले वॉज सो ब्यूटिफुल वर्ल्ड अराउंड पीपल यूज टू कम एंड कलेक्ट नाउ वेन वी स्टडीड द कलेक्शन मैंने वेन वी डिड द कलेक्शन पैटर्न हमने लगभग लगभग 10,000 गाँव मैंने घरों में गए थे हम गाँव में वो 10,000 हाउसेज कॉन्ट्रीब्यूटेड दैट प्लास्टिक वेस्ट द जनरेशन वॉज लेस देन 5 kgs एंड वी हैड टोल्ड देम टू स्टोर इट फॉर अबाउट 1 week, 10 days एंड वी विल कम एंड कलेक्ट ठीक है सो अबाउट 50 tons ऑफ प्लास्टिक वेस्ट वी कलेक्टेड नाउ इट इज नॉट पॉसिबल फॉर मी टू इमेजिन हो सकता है लोगों ने नहीं किया होगा पीपल केप्ट इट फॉर 1 day also 2 days also व्हाटएवर इट माइट बट ओनली 50 टन्स इज वेरी स्मॉल नंबर राइट नाउ वन वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग दैट आई सॉ इज दैट द डाउनस्ट्रीम रिवर दैट वाज कमिंग फ्रॉम कोलकाता फ्रॉम हावड़ा इनटू द सुंदरबंस व्हिच यूज द फेरी एक्सेट्रा कुड ब्रिंग अलोंग सो मच वेस्ट विद इट
नंदन just a quick thing for context if so because 50 tons sounds like a massive number right 50 tons sounds huge what is context yeah
so Kolkata as a city generates 5,500 tons of plastic waste every day
and this was 50 tons you asked people to store over 7 to 10 days
yeah
like 50 tons generated when people were storing for that period of time there you go that's the context I was looking for
yeah assuming let me assume that they did not store for 10 days also if at all I asked them to let's assume they did not but still it's very very less but the ferries that come from Kolkata from the harbor lines etc that carry the passengers or I mean the downstream river if there's a video also I would have to share it is just bringing so much waste with it so the problem is not in rural India is still very sustainable very in tune with nature you know a lot of things recently there was this show I saw you know about the Andaman and Nicobar islands I'll not name the show but you all must have seen it and how the tribals there knew that you know something wrong is going to happen and the water is going to get contaminated it's very true in our country the ones who are in tune with nature are absolutely okay the problem is with this consumerism which we've borrowed from you know westerners so to say because you know till India was liberalized till 1991 you know what was the average AQI of India if I look at the top 50 cities It was below 100.
Yeah, but it's not just culture. It's also access. Think about it.
30% is a massive number, right?
The people in the rural India also wish to have the same things. It's just they don't have access to them. So they cannot consume them, right? And the unfortunate reality of India is that 30% still means 300 million people. Which is a lot of people. It's a massive number, right? It's more than the US. It's more than the entirety of the US, right? And we have to recognize that's an issue. And we have to also recognize that consumerism will increase. What comes alongside consumerism is an increased health. What comes alongside consumerism is increased expected mortality rates, right? So when we discuss consumerism, we have to discuss it in a whole bucket of itself. And it is going to increase. Even in the rural India, it is going to increase. With better roads, there's going to be access and it is going to increase. Educating them at that pace might not be easy. So we cannot educate them. Let's take that as a given. What does the government need to do? What is the government doing? And how will the government accomplish this without the people being as voluntarily accepting as Canada has?
And I think let's focus on e-waste. I think let's take away general waste because that then becomes massive. Let's change our focus and just specifically look at e-waste because every person, 600 million smartphones, 600 million plus smartphones in India, you know, every person wants a device. A number of devices are increasing. Every device has more metal in it that can be reused. you know, silicon crisis, chip shortage all over the world. All these kind of things are growing. So how can we, you know, for India, how can we better segregate, better dispose of our e-waste? And what can the government do?
And less consumption is not an option. Just like they say, huge economies...
Consumption is going to increase.
Yeah. Huge economies are built on petroleum, right? So when you want to enhance an economy, you need to give it coal and you need to give it petroleum products. And that's how economies are built, even though we like to say these are the devils. So consumption is not going down. Education cannot be an answer. It won't get there fast enough. What do we do? What does the government need to do?
So see, education is not a challenge. We have seen a lot of positive change towards consumer behavior towards recycling in the last 10 years. We do a lot of awareness. We do a lot of, with the government and privately as well. We do a lot of awareness in the communities where we involve the citizens in these drives. And we essentially have them, get involved, do the collection, ensure that it doesn't go to the wrong hands, etc. So yes, there's a slow change that is happening there. But primarily what the government is doing is they are making the manufacturers or producers responsible. So there is a concept called polluter pays principle, which has been there in the world for many years now. So essentially the one who is generating the pollutant has to pay for its disposal. Right? And in India, there is a concept, in fact, it's a global concept. It's called EPR, which is extended producer responsibility. But essentially, it is the responsibility of the manufacturer of the device or the brand owner of that device. And when that device becomes e-waste, it needs to be recycled properly. And they need to ensure that that EPR is done. So this rule has been there in India for almost 6-7 years now. And all these major brands who are either importing or manufacturing electronics in the country are liable for this. And it's not been underwhelming, neither has it been overwhelming. It's sort of in the middle, where the performance has been not good, not bad. But it's been happy. And we also lead a charge. I mean, we have more than 200 plus producers of electronics who work with us to fulfill their EPR. And that's what we help them in doing. That's what we do in the collection, etc. So that is one thing that the government is doing.
If that is true, India is so far ahead the US, in these terms. Because US ran campaigns to say it is your responsibility to keep the roads clean. It is your responsibility to take your bottle and put it in the recycle bin. You control your own carbon footprint of the world, right? These advertisements have ran before, funded by the pet industry. And when you look at the numbers, if you do this your entire life, right, and you're living a life where you are not producing any kind of excess carbon at all, it will be overtaken by 1.5 minute of a single industry running. So your life's value in carbon offsets is ruined by 1.5 minute of a basic pet industry running. So please carry on with point number two.
Yeah. No, so that's why, right? India mein thoda danda marna padta hai and incentive bhi dena padta hai. So they are, what's also happening is that India has recently launched its own carbon credit trading policy. So there is an Indian version of the carbon credit trading, and essentially what the government is saying is that carbon credit generated in India will be traded at a preferred rate if it is being purchased in India. So that is a very, very big boost, because global companies or global giants who are committed to their ESG goals or who are committed to the carbon credit goals and net neutrality and carbon neutrality goals, suddenly India becomes a very interesting market to buy carbon credits from. Right. So there is a business side to things as well. And of course, you have to give incentives. I mean, free mein man se koi nahi karta. No one wants to do it out of their free will. No one wants to do it out of their own will. The citizen action is important. But yes, the citizen action influences the industry action. Like, we have had a lot of people whose kids have attended awareness programs in their schools. And then those CEOs and CFOs have called us saying, hey, we have e-waste, will you take it? So that's what has happened with us. So that is something that the government is doing on this front. Also, one thing very interesting that's happening is that there is a lot of interest now on reducing unnecessary devices. So for example, the whole Type-C revolution that has happened, and all the brands have now committed that after 2027 or 2028, I think, all chargers will be Type-C. And the Apple being the biggest, which was a very, very interesting, you know, addition to that cluster. So brands are also realizing that they need to do it, because otherwise, how is it going to work? And what are they going to do with this obligation that's only going to pile up? So it's movement in the right direction. But the idea is that it has to be curbed off, or the greenwashing has to be filtered out. The brand saying, hey, you know, I did my bit. I am neutral. You know, now I don't care what's happening with the world. That has to be removed. There are challenges, but the policy is speaking about taking it in the right direction. So once Holatech in 2012, I finished with NIIT and the rules were in place. So I wanted to actually establish an own recycling unit in the country. And so what I did is I went to the other recyclers in the part of the country and tried to invite them to the East. Let's do something in Calcutta. And that time, East was not really perceived to be the most economically viable environment to start a business in. So they didn't really show interest. And they were also trying to figure out, frankly, their own businesses back then. So they didn't do it. So then I went to Europe and I met with recyclers there. And I showed them this plan and said, you know, why don't we do something in East together? So I met this gentleman in Spain, in Bilbao. And he said, you know what, we are looking for someone who sort of understands the trick of the trade. And I could speak Spanish. So that was a plus for me. He said that, chalo, technical knowledge bhi hai, Spanish bhi jante, so let's hire him. And he hired me for 18, 20 months. It was sort of shrouded as a training program for me. Essentially, he was just making some quick bucks off me, but that's okay. So I was there and I spent about 18, 20 months in Bilbao. I literally learned the entire recycling process by hand. So I have actually dismantled material by hand. I have put it in the shredders. I have recovered gold out of electronic waste. I have done all of that, you know. And they recycle about 50,000 metric tons of e-waste a year. And that's just one plant. They have four such plants. So they do about 2.5 lakh tons, close to that, a year. I currently do 10,000 metric tons a year after 10 years. So you see what the gap is, right? So in terms of ahead, no, we are way behind. I mean, in terms of action, community action, yes, things are working. But like Europe, for example, is way ahead. You know, in Germany, in Switzerland, the recycling rates are close to 50% when it comes to e-waste, per se. You know, the recycling rates are quite high, and it's great. So, US perhaps, I'm not sure about the data there, but in terms of Europe, we are learning from them and they really have wonderful initiatives. You know, they ran this campaign, I remember about 12 years ago when I was there, to actually collect tube lights from homes and store it separately. And they would come and they would actually give there's this store called El Corte Inglés, which is like the Spencer's or the Shopper Stop or whatever, you know, in Spain. And they would give El Corte Inglés vouchers for every tube light that you responsibly disposed. And El Corte Inglés supported it heartfully, and it was a massively, massively successful campaign. And people actually segregated their tube lights and kept it in Spain. So, that's what it is.
This reminds me also about the fact that you see all these commercials and all those a bit, but you know, because we're using so much sand to get silicon and things like that from beaches, using beer bottles to get crushed into like ultra fine glass. So these machines were installed at bars and all, and you put the bottle in there and gets crushed and everything. And every bottle you put in, you get like a few cents credit for your next drink. So there were all those kind of things. So there has to be, you know, certain something you get out of what you're doing, because again, it's adopting a new thing, and we humans, we do not like change. Change for us is the hardest thing to do, yet we have to keep doing it. So every time there is something that we have to change, we have to get incentivized to change.
I feel there's a balance between change and between how fast you can get something. So I was going to say, one of the concerns that I have personally is that, you know, my mom and dad, if they're using a product, they like to even talking about toothpaste, they'll like roll it up and get like the lastest bit out. We would have a couch in the house, which would be God knows how, 100,000 years old, right? And they would continue to use it, or it'll stay there. Then someday somebody will get to use it, right? Clothes, we'd have very, very old clothes also, even though we are not using them, but we would have them in the house, and they would be
hand-me-downs.
Yeah. So it would never be put into trash. It would either be given to somebody. The lifetime of basic things for my mom, dad is longer than for me. I feel mine is longer than the next gen, right? Is that time just going to decrease, and are you going to get to a day where they, like, you know, extremities, they're wearing it once and then throwing it off, because that's all you can do. When you wash it, it's gone. So does that scare you? And after that, let's take a deep dive into your numbers and see actually what recycling is happening and where the money is and all of it.
You know, someone said something very interesting to me, and I'm going to use that today, I think. You know, he said three simple words. He said, frugality leads to sustainability. He said, what fosters sustainability? What is a sustainable way of living? A frugal way of living is a sustainable way of living. You know, and as Indians, or rather as Asians, we really know this very well. You know, and hum na thoda usko misunderstand karte in the sense that we say that, you know, how cheap, man. Why are you worried about that last 1 milligram of toothpaste? But the idea is, over a lifetime, how much does that add up to? And how many toothpaste, you know, containers are we saving? And in terms of money and in terms of the environment.
And we're back to compounding. This has been the most recurrent topic. And even here, we are back here. We're back to compounding again. Just the buildup. I had to mention it, man. Sorry to cut you off.
Okay. No worries. Yeah. So that's what it is. So, I mean, there's this lady, okay. You guys should probably meet her. We should meet her. She's in Cal. You know, she says... she lives a zero waste life. She lives in New Alipur, not very far. Lata Bhatia ji. And you know, she will do just probably what I think used to be one of the craziest things. You know, she goes to a restaurant but carries her own cutlery. So she goes to a restaurant and carries her own cutlery. She will carry her own water bottle, not have a packaged drinking water. Right. Now, I would be embarrassed to do it, frankly. Forget about the sustainable, frugal. Even me being in this industry for so many years and leading the charge in any way, I would not do it. But she's just so, you know, candid about it. She doesn't care. She said, no, it's okay. Like, I know the impact. How much water did I save? Just that the utensils will not have to clean for me. And I used it, one less person used it, therefore so much water saved. She speaks like that. And she's caught on. And now she's made a zero waste bazaar, where she's actually selling products which are replacements to single-use or multi-use items. And that's how it is. And she's all of 55, and I'm like, fair, ma'am. Like, and she said, mere liye kuch naya nahi hai. Like, I've been doing this all my life. I've just branded and marketed it now, nothing else.
There's a trend here. People carry metallic straws. So people will carry their own straw with them. That has really caught on.
Yeah, it is. It is, absolutely. Because... I mean, that the straw is a whole different game, yeah. Like that impact is massively poor. I mean, especially specifically to the sea life, it is really bad. Forget about we've seen no turtle ke naak mein chala gaya and all that we've seen. The corals, the single largest reason for coral reefs getting destroyed is plastic straws. There's a research to prove it. There's research to prove it. So anyway, so we've been doing some numbers. So we've been doing e-waste for now all the 10 years. And last 3-4 years ago, we added battery waste into the mix as well. We started doing plastic waste as well. So last year, we did about 10,000 tons cumulatively of all waste combined. And in terms of numbers, our revenue is about 11 crores last year, the top line. And our EBITDA margins are about 30%. So we do a gross.
Crazy. Love it.
So So it's a rewarding business.
Karo yaar, get people into this.
People, this is a rewarding business. Please set it up today. And please, Nandan needs more competition. These EBITDA margins are too high. There needs to be more recycling.
No, the beautiful part of this, Akhil, is that, you know, India recycles only 5% of its e-waste right now. And if I speak about battery and everything else, probably it's like 10% on an average. So I would love to have competition because it's only going to turn into collaboration because itna waste hai. Matlab, I cannot eat it all alone. You know, it's just not possible.
Nandan, when we talk about recycling e-waste, can we get a little insight into the process? Karte kaise?
Yeah. So, essentially, electronic waste contains four components or four types of material inside it. It has metals, which are ferrous, non-ferrous and precious. It has plastics of various kinds, you know, polyethylene, PETs, etc. It has, some of it has glass, right? And the fourth element, which is the problem creation element, is the hazardous element that helps in the functioning of the device. Like I explained about the air conditioner. The whole goal is that the hazardous element needs to be treated and disposed of properly. It does not have any environmental impact. That's the goal of recycling waste. The rest three are simply broken down and that becomes a product to sell. So we essentially sell raw materials. So we sell a copper ingot, we sell a iron ingot, we sell a gold ingot. You know, that's our product that we are getting out of electronic waste. Similarly, we sell plastic, mixed plastic, or we sell plastic flakes, we sell plastic strips, whatever it might be. But the goal here is that the hazardous needs to be separated from these raw materials because these are all valuable raw materials. And if they are being reused or recycled into new products, that's great. Yeah? But the problem is that this is mixed with the hazardous element, which needs to be removed. And it needs to be treated. So the whole game of recycling is that. If you do that properly, then you're sorted. That's about it.
So you have a manufacturing setup in to do that?
No, it's not a manufacturing. No, we...
You have like a deconstruction assembly that leads to this?
Correct. So there's a manual disassembly first.
So is it a certain set of machines or what is
it? No. So there's a manual disassembly first. Let me maybe explain it with an example of one life cycle of one product, right? Maybe it's easier. So let me take a printer, for example, right? So a printer essentially has four broad components. It has the plastic case, which is the body of the printer, right? It has a toner inside it, toner cartridge, right? If you're talking about laser printers, right? It has iron in terms of its frame, right? Iron and maybe a little bit of aluminium as well, right? And it contains certain electronic parts, like for example, the PCB that controls the flow, which receives the command from the computer to essentially print your paper, right? So the first thing that happens is that all these four are manually removed. So the body is removed, plastic is removed, the toner is removed, right? The iron frame body is removed, and the PCB is removed. Ye ho gaya manual dismantling. After manual dismantling, we go into the complicated process, which is the mechanical dismantling. So inside the toner or inside a printer, let's say, the hazardous element is the toner powder. Because again, the toner powder contains lead, right? So that toner powder needs to be removed. But of course, inside a toner, the toner powder is spread out across the cartridge. So it's not possible ki aise maine jhaada aur nikal gaya. That's not possible. So it needs to be taken apart and the toner is stored. It's separately. It's put in bag filters, right? And then that it is stored separately, it is sent for treatment. Now that the e-waste is hazardous element free, you know, the device or the item that is making it hazardous, now it is hazardous element free. So then it goes for mechanical recycling where first level shredding hota hai, right? The iron is shred, the plastic is shred, the printed circuit board is shred. And then depending on the customer's need, it is shred at multiple levels to the size that the customer wants. And then that plastic or that iron or that aluminium goes to a smelter or goes to a company which is going to use the scrap for any other process. And we sell it. And that's how the recycling happens.
Very important question, Nandan. With the number of electronic devices coming into the market, the variation from device to device to device to device is increasing. And those variations are one of, I would assume those variations are one of your hugest problems. Because if I need to pan out, is this a printer? Is this a phone? Is this a light? Is this a soundbar? Then every time I need to take an action, it takes me more and more time, which reduces the amount you can process, right? How do you dodge that? Is that dodgeable? And if I am to set up my own thing tomorrow, let's say I get very inspired and I want to set this exact plant up, maybe in Delhi, maybe near Bombay, maybe in one of the rural areas, how much money would I need and how would I dodge this question?
Yeah. So what was happening, Akhil, is exactly what you were saying was happening. So there was a concept in India called a dismantler, which has been discontinued from this year. So what the dismantler would do was, I can't segregate so much. So what will I do? I'll just put everything together in the shed. Right? But what would happen is the surface runoffs of the hazardous element would be a part of the recycling. So essentially, your product did not become hazardous waste free. So if I put a printer into a shredder, it will shred everything, including the hazardous component, right? Including the toner. So government has realized this, and therefore dismantling now is discontinued. So dismantling has to happen after the removal. We call it the primary hazardous element, PHE. So dismantling is only allowed after the removal of the PHE. Number one. Now, the challenge is Epson makes a different printer, HP makes a different printer, so on and so forth. Forget about the modality of the printer, forget about the size, dimension, etc. The screws are different. So, HP uses a different screw, Epson uses a different screw, maybe brother uses a different screw, so on and so forth. So actually during the opening process, we have to have like all the screwdriver sets possible we have. Because if I'm doing one day, I'm doing let's say 1 week, I'll recycle printers. So I need to have different recycler sets, like yeah, different screw sets to open different different printers. That is the reality. We have to do it.
Yaar, you're talking HP Epson. You're talking HP versus Epson.
This is all manually being done.
They are electronic screwdrivers. We don't manually, will take a very long time. I mean, these are electronic, but the bit changes.
But you need a human to operate.
Yeah, obviously. How else will you do it? Human hi kholega na. Matlab, how will you do it? Otherwise, you do what dismantle, you just shred everything together. But that is unsustainable.
Nandan.
Yeah.
You're talking about recycling. I'm to saying HP, HP, HP. Teen printer will have teen different places where things are stored. Teen model ka teen alag alag cheez hai jahan se kya nikalna hai, kya karna hai. The other day only, my dad got himself a printer and his toner ran out. And he's like, you know, what do we do? How do we refill this toner or how do we change this toner? And I looked around the printer. There was nothing. I had to YouTube it. I was like, yaar, isko karte kaise?
अरे हाँ हाँ ये प्रॉब्लम्स है और
आई वाज लिटरली लाइक व्हाट द हेल डू वी डू विद दिस
यू नो इट्स एक्चुअली अ पैराडॉक्स फ्रॉम द ब्रांड्स पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू थिंग इज दैट एवरी ब्रांड ट्राइज टू डिफरेंशिएट इटसेल्फ थ्रू इट्स प्रोडक्ट ठीक है द मोमेंट आई मेक एवरीथिंग स्टैंडर्डाइज व्हाट इज द डिफरेंशिएटिंग फैक्टर
ब्रांड आइडेंटिटी
तो दे कांट डू इट इफ दे वांट टू सेल देयर प्रोडक्ट हम स्टैंडर्डाइज नहीं कर सकते
वो स्क्रू स्टैंडर्डाइज कर सकते हैं यार
Find better ink, find better software, find better things. मतलब इसी में करना है तुमने differentiate.
जैसे USB Type C standardized हो गया तो at least screws तो standardized कर दो. Like at least ये bit नहीं change करना हो.
मतलब अब तो right to repair भी आ रहा है. हाँ मतलब right to repair भी आ रहा है. This should not be an issue. समझ से बाहर है. Like people don't think, they just make.
No, and I think this ties in very beautifully to the last segment of our podcast. Because we have this tradition on our podcast where we have a question that is left to you by our previous guest. And our previous guest doesn't know who you are. So they've just left a question. And we need you to leave a question for the next guest. And this question has fit in so beautifully into this whole thing. Because our question is, how can AI and how can generative AI impact what you're doing? So can AI in any way impact or improve this process?
Okay. So AI can improve this process in terms of the biggest challenge with any waste management is segregation. Okay. So the better segregated feed you have, the efficiency of your recycling process is as better. AI can have a big role here, wherein how to segregate, how to identify. Currently in India at least, and in fact across the world, we rely on experts who make SOPs on how to segregate incoming mixed waste. You know, and it's important primarily because the hazardous element in each is different, and the entire recycling process flow depends on what hazardous element are we treating today, because everything has to be aligned to it accordingly, right? So maybe I'm treating, let's say, a battery. So I don't care whether it's a laptop battery or a mobile phone battery. So I will probably do laptops and mobiles together, because my hazardous element is the battery, which is the lithium or the nickel cadmium or whatever it might be, right? So AI can have a very, very big role in terms of segregation.
We need a question from you, Nandan, for the next guest.
Okay. So my question would be,